most things come with instructions. Your car comes with a manual. Your phone comes with instructions. Even posters come with warnings, instructions and warnings like, do not use in the bathtub, which makes you wonder what was going on that we needed to put that in the instructions. Apparently, we need instructions for everything. Those explanations matter because we need to understand how things work. If you use something the wrong way, even the perfectly good thing can become frustrating or ineffective. The same is true for the events that we go to. There's a right way to attend different events, and there's a wrong way to attend different events. Imagine going to a movie and somebody's taking detailed notes as if it was a lecture or something like that. You just don't do that. Imagine going to a funeral and somebody starts a wave or something like that. You just don't do that. Imagine going to a wedding ceremony and afterward you give the bride and groom a Yelp review. The ceremony started a little late. Seating was uncomfortable. Music was decent. Cake was excellent. 4 stars. You just wouldn't do that, right? They're just different things you don't do. My son and I, a couple weeks ago, we went for opening night of the new Spider-Man movie. I'm not going to give you any spoilers here, but at about 2/3 of the way through the movie, there's this really kind of intense, kind of emotional, like everybody's focused on it moment, and somebody's phone alarm goes off. And then continues to go off. And then continues to go off. And then continues to go off. And then continue. Are you getting frustrated? Me just, I'm not lying. It kept going for over 30 seconds, almost a full minute, to where I just finally went, turn off the alarm. And like different people around the theater, turn it off. Like there was just, you just don't do that. Alarms should not be going off in movie theaters. There are other things you should be doing. Obviously enjoying the popcorn, enjoying the movie, different things like that. Different gatherings have different kinds of participation. It leads to this question. What's involved in attending a church service? What's involved in attending the church gathering? Most of us know how to arrive at church. We know where to sit. We know when to stand. We know when the music begins. We know when the announcements happen. You know, relatively speaking, how long the sermon's going to be. But knowing the routine of something is not the same thing as understanding its purpose. Let me say that again. Knowing the routine of something is not the same thing as understanding its purpose. Now, please understand, talking a lot about instructions and things like that, the Bible does not give us an instruction manual with a play-by-play, minute-by-minute order of service for gatherings. However, it does indicate and tell us the postures and priorities and participations that should characterize the people of God when we gather. Think about what it says in Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. There was different things they were devoted to. They put energy in. They were focused on. They were passionate about. Teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Consider what Hebrews 10 tells us. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And these passages are telling us there's something important, there's something vital, a priority about our gathering together. There's something necessary for our faith and our lives with the Lord. It's important for us to gather. It's important for us to embrace our gatherings. Yes, faith is much more than an hour on Sunday. But what about this hour on Sunday? What about this time we gather that's so important? How do we go about doing this? So this is what I want to talk to you about this morning. How to attend a church service. I want to give you 6 simple principles to consider as we gather together on a weekly basis. And here's the thing I want to challenge you with. Take notes on this. Maybe you have a pen, paper, maybe you can get your note app out on your phone and only have that app on your phone. Jot these things down, because this isn't just for me to say. These are things from Scripture that we need to be implementing them. And if you just hear me and then forget them, it's going to be hard to implement those things. And so that's something I would encourage you to do. Jot these things down so you can think about them in the weeks ahead. Before we jump into them, though, let's pray and ask that God would speak to our hearts. God, you are good, and we praise you for the fact that we can be called your children. I thank you so much for these brothers and sisters. I thank you for the part of the family of God that we are. We know that your family extends all over not only Chicago or the U.S., but all over the world. And people gathering to worship you and offer you praise and plead out to you for help. And we lift our voices with them, God, to tell you that we love you. And we're grateful for you. And we're grateful for all that you're doing. I pray for a new life, sister, oh God. I pray that you would encourage us this morning. I pray that you would move in this place and you would challenge our hearts. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so how do we attend a church service? Six quick principles. Here's the first one. You have to prepare your heart. You have to prepare your heart. The experience of a worship gathering on a Sunday doesn't begin when you walk through the door. It begins when you get up that morning. There's something that happens before you get here. Before you cook or bake something extravagant, you go and gather all the ingredients and the recipe and everything. Before you work out or run, you stretch and you kind of get mentally ready for that. With the church, our gathering time, there is a before that happens. Before arriving, we should pray that God would prepare our hearts for what's to come when we gather with the family of God. God has always been about giving his people this discipline of heart preparation. Listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes. It says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Guard your steps when you come to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know what they are, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. There's discernment in that passage. There's the warning of being careful about what it's like when we gather, that we don't just come in without any thought or intent or focus, but we think through the reality of who we are as we come into this place. God's people are warned to be careful, to be mindful, to be wise in how they are when they gather with the church family. It's a call to check your heart, to check your mind, and make sure that we're here for the right reasons. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, what are my motives? Am I coming to gather for something other than you? Am I looking to bring you worship, to build up the family? Or am I coming merely to gain? It says in James 1, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And so we have to ask ourselves as we're preparing our heart, am I holding any grievances against anybody in this place? Do I have even small things that I'm holding on to rather than dealing with? Do we react toward one another, or do we try to understand one another? We're called to check our hearts, to be careful with our hearts. And so here's my challenge to you. Next Sunday when you wake up, take a moment to pray and ask God to prepare your heart, to search your heart, to help you become focused on him, to desire him, to be excited about what he's going to do and what he's going to do not only in your life, but in the lives of the family that you're a part of. We have to prepare our hearts. That's the first principle for how to attend a worship service. Prepare your heart. Second one is this, is engage in worship. Engage in worship. Now, It must be said that our entire lives are an act of worship. Worship is not just the music and the songs and different things that happen. It's much more than that. And Romans 12 tells us this. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So what that's telling us is that you are worshiping when you leave this place as much as you are when you're in this place. When you're at school, that's a moment of worship. When you're at work, that's a moment of worship. When you're working out, when you're playing, when you're by yourself, when you're engaging somebody, conversing, whatever it might be, whatever the moment holds, that is the moment of worship. But there's something about this time when we gather, and during a church service, we have a special time of song where our worship team leads us in music and singing out to God. And can we just thank the worship team for doing such an amazing job of that this morning? A powerful time of just coming before the Lord, and I thank them for that. And here's the important thing to grasp within that moment. These songs are not for us. They are for God. That moment is not for us. It is for the Lord. And we miss the point when we come in thinking of, oh, I can't wait to experience this, rather than, I can't wait to bring this love offering to the Lord. I've had the privilege going to Israel many times and take college students over there and different things. And there was one trip I was on where we were at the different sites, and like special, sacred, like historical sites, seeing the places where Jesus walked and different things like that. And large groups of people. And the one time we were on this one trip, and we're in Capernaum, which is like the house, Jesus' hometown, and like where Peter's mom had, and the big synagogue that's there. And the guide is talking, and they were teaching about the scriptures and opening up the word. And there was a couple of students that were kind of off to the side, and all they were doing was having a photo shoot. It was like full leaning this way, the fingers, everything, just taking pictures, not listening to anything, not engaging in anything. And finally, it got to the point where site after site after site, all these little mini photo shoots were happening, that we finally had to say something like, I think you're missing the point of why you're here. There isn't anything wrong with wanting to take those photos, but that's not why you're here. You're here to take this in and experience this, and to understand and connect with the Lord in this way. And the reality is that when we come to church and we just want to experience worship, we just want to have the fun and the energy of that, it's like we're taking that photo shoot. We're drastically missing the point. Worship is not for your and my entertainment. Worship is for what we bring to the Lord. And are we bringing a gift of praise to Him? That's what Hebrews tells us to do. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. If you want to know why we engage in worship on Sundays, that's the verse that tells us. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that the fruit of lips would acknowledge who He is. Our time of worship on Sunday is about acknowledging that He is God and we are not. Acknowledging His worth, acknowledging His supremacy, acknowledging His character and everything that makes Him who He is. In our singing, we acknowledge these things of who He is and what He's done for us, acknowledging the God that He is, and He is worthy of worship. Worship is our response to God's great work. And so in being focused on Him and being all absorbed and obsessed with Him, we joyfully bring words of praise to our God. Colossians 3 gives us instruction for what this looks like. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to God. Did you catch that? Let the singing teach you. Now, the Bible is where the authority is at, but our singing should emulate what the authority is pointing to. And so our songs teach us about the character of God when they are accurate to what the Scripture is saying about the character of God. And so as we worship, we're being reminded of His majesty. We're being reminded of His great work. We're being reminded of how great He cares about us. We're reminded that we are never far from Him. He is always present. He is always connected and in tune with what you're going through. And we offer Him that praise. And the beautiful thing is that we do get filled with joy and peace and being reminded that He is that God. And that's the God that loves us. Our heart in worship should resonate with Psalm 95. When we are worshiping the Lord, our hearts should resonate with the words of this psalm. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. Now, before I read anything else, let me say, do you hear that first part? Let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Some people stand there as the frozen chosen. You have no sense of joy coming out of you. Now, I am not saying that you have to be all animated or anything like that. Sometimes when people are like that, it's more about the experience they're having than what they're bringing to the Lord. But if you're just standing there and it's, what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. I don't think you really believe that. Have you been to a soccer game or a basketball game or a concert when people are just freaking out and screaming and cheering and so excited to be in that moment? How many, when you saw the crowds at the World Cup games, were they standing there like, this is awesome? No! They were excited. There was happiness. There were smiles on their face because of what this moment meant to them. There should be a little bit more than that coming out of us when we're gathering together to tell our God He has a beautiful name and nothing else compares to it. And so, and also it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Let that encourage you, my brothers and sisters, who have a voice like mine that is not made for leading worship. The God is not saying, make a joyful, harmonious, in-tune song. It says, make a joyful noise. Don't care about what other people next to you are singing or thinking or whatever. The Lord hears you, and He thinks it is beautiful when it is coming from your heart. And so let it out. Be genuine, be true, and engage in worship. Engaging in our worship is bringing a gift of praise to the Lord. We prepare our hearts. We engage in worship. Third principle, remain prayerfully engaged. Remain prayerfully engaged. Between your guys' service is exactly like ours at Lincoln Park. You have your worship, you have your message, and between those two times, you have a mingle time, you have announcements, receiving the offering, all of that. I don't know about, this is my first time, I think, ever at Realize this role, which is a little offensive. Why have you not asked me to come here before now? I'm going to have to talk to Juan about that. No, I'm just kidding. But it's a very similar reality. There's this time, and welcome, offering, announcements. And it can almost seem like a weekly ritual. And in that, it's easy to check out. There's one time in Lincoln Park, we have a balcony, and there was one time I had to go help with something in the tech booth, and the service was going on, the worship got done, and we did the mingle thing, and then the announcements and the welcome were going on, and I was still up there, and I could see a guy on his phone looking at something on Target, and I knew the person, and I texted him, I'm like, hey, what's on sale? And he kind of just went like that. Because it's easy to tune out at that time if you've heard the same welcome and you already know the announcements. But here's the thing. Do not tune out. Remain prayerfully engaged. You should be praying in that moment. Praying for what is happening. Praying for the people that you're going to connect with, that you do connect with. Pray for the new people here who are here for the first time. Pray for the generosity. Pray for generosity during the offering. Pray for events that are coming up. Pray, pray, pray. 21 days of prayer is almost over, but prayer is never over. And so in that, you should be praying. During that time, think about what Romans 12, verses 10 to 13 tell us. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who were in need. Everything that Romans 12, these verses tell us, these are the things that we're talking about during the announcement. For the opportunity to connect with one another and care for one another and come alongside with one another. That's what those things are about. And so we should be praying during those moments. And how can we be devoted to one another? How can we honor one another? How can we serve one another? How can we help one another? How can we be patient and faithful with one another? How can we practice hospitality with one another? Pray, pray, pray. Do not check out, but engage in prayer. Here's three specific things you can be praying for during that time. One, pray for how to participate in connection opportunities. You know, you were going to talk a little bit more about connection in a moment, but during that announcement time, when those events are being talked about, whether it's a retreat or something specific to St. Cicero or anything like that, those are opportunities for you to be part of the community, to connect with people and build relationships. So you should be praying for those events. You should also be praying for how can I be part of what is happening there. You should also pray for how to participate in the offering. We've already talked about before I got up, before I don't want to belabor that point, but I do want you to hear what 2 Corinthians 9 says. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So what does it look like for you to participate in what God is doing this place? You might not know this, but there's a reality that the way New Life functions is we're all one church, we're all one family. We have different locations, and every location is responsible for the stewardship of their location budget. And so what happens at New Life Cicero happens because of the people at New Life Cicero. What happens at New Life Lincoln Park happens because of the people at New Life Lincoln Park. And so the fact these lights are on right now and there's air conditioning and you can see those trees happens because of the generosity in this place. And so within that, you're coming alongside and being part of that. Not only what's happening in this room for 1 hour, but everything that happens with this church outside of that, whether it's blessing people and missions work and local things, it's happening here. And so as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're required to be a part of that. You know, my kids are 17 and 19, and I love giving things to my kids. I love gifting things to my kids, doing stuff. But I'm also at the point in their life where they're like, hey, I want this. And I'm like, well, then I hope you have money for it. Hey, this game's coming out. I'm like, oh, man, that's going to be so awesome for you to play that. How much do you have saved up for it now? Okay, and even the reality of, like, different trips that we're going on and talking about different things. Like, okay, well, if I'm going to cover all of this, if you guys want to do that part, you have to help out. I mean, the reality with all that we have and all the Lord has blessed us with and all the Lord has given us is the reality of, okay, do we have a junior high mentality where this is all mine, or do we have a little bit more of a mature mentality where this is something the Lord has provided me and I'm going to help out with what's happening here? Because I want to see the Lord be known not only in this place, but outside of this place. And so what does generosity look like to you? And also pray for those who are experiencing the church family for the first time. There's a reality, and people are going to come here, and I'm not going to ask if that's you this week or anything like that, but there are people who are going to walk in these doors week in and week out who have not experienced the church service, they haven't experienced the church family. Maybe they have, and it was a horrible experience. And so them coming here is a great act of courage and wanting to give it another chance or a tenth chance or whatever that might be. And so, Lord, let them feel safe in this place. Let them experience you in this place. Let them see what a church can be like in this place. These are the things that we should be praying for. And I also want to just say this, the idea of just remaining engaged in prayer, sticking in prayer. I said to somebody, 2 weeks ago, when I mentioned I was going to be going to a couple different New Life locations, I was at New Life Melrose Park last week here at New Life Cicero, and I said, you know, I'm at Lincoln Park all the time, and I love my church family, I love everything about my church family, but man, I can't wait to go to another New Life location where everybody shows up when the church service starts and no one comes in after the first song. apparently haven't visited that place yet. On the last two locations I have visited. And so this is something that's like across all of our locations, and I just want to say, you're missing out. You need to, service starts at 10 o'clock. In a couple weeks, I think you're going to go back to two services. We're going back to two services. But here's the thing, that time won't be a secret. It won't be like, hope you can figure it out. Here's like the scavenger hunt to get to the info. It'll be broadcasted and posted everywhere. Service starts at 10. Worship together starts at 10. Being in the community starts at 10. You need to be here when it starts so that you can connect with people and people can connect with you and you can be part of worship and you can hear what's going on and you can be in the service. You need to be here. I understand. I have kids. I've been and lived, driven in Chicago many years. I understand things happen. But there is a difference between the anomaly 1 week and a habit over many weeks. And so here's the easy trick. Here's how you address this. However late you were today, set your alarm back that many minutes. If you were 20 minutes late today, set your alarm back 20. And that might be the new thing for all of us. There's alarms on your phone. Did you know that? All you got to do is like push, scroll down and push the little alarm button there. And if you set that, it'll wake you up. Now, I'm obviously laying it on really thick right now. But I'm doing it because it just needs to be said. And again, not only here, but also at Melrose Park, and definitely at Lincoln Park. There was one time somebody came in that was visiting, and this is why I want you to hear this, that was visiting. They'd never been to our church before. And 5 minutes before service, imagine if this was Lincoln Park. There were four people in sanctuary. And they go, is this, I was talking, are we here at the right time? I'm like, yeah, just give it a minute. They'll be here. And I had to go downstairs and I had to address something. And when I came back up, it was packed. Every seat was taken. And I went and I told that, I saw the couple like during the mingle and they were like, everybody showed up. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry that the first impression you had was that this was empty. Help do the best we can to give a first impression of how important God's gathering is with God's people. So remember to remain prayerfully engaged. Prepare your heart, engage in worship, remain prayerfully engaged. Fourth one, feed on the Word. Feed on the Word. Every Sunday there is a sermon, a teaching of the Scriptures. Your pastor is tasked with being the primary teacher at this location. We don't have video teaching at New Life other than twice a year when either Pastor Josiah or Pastor Mark will do an all-church message. That's a unique thing. The normal rhythm of our services is we want live teaching at every New Life. Typically, our services, everybody's on the same page. We're all going to be doing Deuteronomy this fall. There's different seasons where they call a more prophetic pause, where we might be on more of a specific thing to the location. But every Sunday, there's live preaching. Somebody is going to come and teach God's Word. The sermon isn't a lecture, but there is a hope that you would learn something from it. The sermon isn't a self-help talk, though the hope is that we'd be able to act on what we've heard. The sermon is a proclamation of the truth of God's Word, through which we learn about Him and what it means to live the life that we have with Him as His children. The sermon is something to take in both mentally and emotionally, to learn and to be moved by, to grow and to respond to. Not because of me, not because of Juan or Roger, not because of anybody with the word pastor in front of their name, but because this is God's Word. We are proclaiming the authority of God's Word. The authority is not in the person talking. The authority is in the Word we're proclaiming. And we need to hear that Word. Consider what Scripture tells us. In Romans 6, it says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. But that transformation, God used the teaching of His Word to bring about that transformation. Ephesians 4, but that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, that is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, created after the likenesses of God in true righteousness and holiness. It's through the teaching of His Word that we learn what was the old life and what was the new life. We understand what God is trying to do within us to make us more and more in His image. Both of these passages say that it's learning led to life change. Teaching of God's Word led to transformation and obedience. And so when the message is going on, we have to prayerfully receive it. You should be asking questions. What is God teaching me through this? God, what do I need to hear within this? What should I go back and look up a little bit later? Who is somebody I need to talk to based on what I'm hearing right now? We have to be able to ask those questions. We have to think about what James says in 1:22, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. You know that you have understood the Word of God when you put the Word of God in practice. There's a place called Halfwayville. Everything that happens in Halfwayville happens halfway. It's a really weird place to visit. People watch half of a movie, they read half of a book, they eat half of a meal, they'll leave conversations halfway through, houses are half built, half painted, everything is done halfway. You're visiting your friend in Halfwayville, and you visit and kind of just taking in this super weird, eccentric culture, and you go to church with him on Sunday, and everybody stays for the entire service. You've been here for an entire week, and this is the first thing everybody sat through the whole thing. And you say that to your friend, like, "What? Why is this the thing that you didn't do halfway? Why is this the thing that you went all the way through?" And your friend says to you, "Oh, no, no, that's really consistent. Because this being there is the first half. Putting it into practice is the second half." Are you a citizen of Halfwayville, where you just hear this stuff, but you never do anything with it? You'll hear somebody, "Oh, amen," or, "Oh, yeah, that's right," or, but then you leave here none the different. We have to take in the Word of God. We have to have a hunger for the Word of God. We need to have a desire to know who He is and what He's like. And how do we emulate His character? And how does that transform not only us, but our relationships and our workplaces and our families? You know how the Spirit is prompting you, excuse me, when Juan says, or I say, like, even today, is there somebody you need to talk to based on what you've been hearing? If a name or a face pops in your mind, that's the person. And so to hear that and have that conviction and not act on it is to be a citizen of Halfwayville. We need to be active. We need to be listening. You need to jot down some notes. You need to be asking those questions so that we can be doers of the Word and not merely hearers. We have to feed on the Word. Number five, connect with community. Whether it's for a few minutes before service, after service, even for just that 1 minute, this is your church family. How do you talk about this church? Well, that New Life Cicero, or if you're talking to Pastor Juan, or Pastor Juan at your church, or do you talk about this place, that's my church. Those are my people. Then you know you've seen things correctly. These should be your people. You're not going to know everybody in this room. You're not going to be best friends with everybody in this room. But you need the people in this room. And you need to start making those connections. We've already read Hebrews 10, but to read it again, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Can you imagine being the people hearing this, and it says, as is the habit of some, and knowing He's talking about you? We don't want I don't want that illusion about my life. I don't want to be, well, we need to be not neglecting one another, as some people are doing, and like the awkward look just kind of looks over at you. I don't want those eyes on me. I don't want to neglect the gathering. I don't want to neglect these people. I want to be part of what God is doing in this place. And it says, all the more as you see the day of drawing near, there's an urgency about us being together. It says in 1 Peter 4, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. One thing that I say at our location all the time, in fact, people could probably finish me saying the line, is you have to make friends before you need them. Life is a roller coaster. I heard one person say it, that life is many times like you're moving toward a storm, you're in a storm, or you just got through a storm. You can either see the rain coming, you're soaking wet, or you're drying yourself off. You're either on a mountain or you're in a valley. And there's a time in between, but one of those others is coming. And the reality is that we are not meant to go through that alone. God said at the very beginning, all of this is good, but you all being by yourselves, that's not good. That doesn't mean introverts have to become extroverts. I know the introverts want to say amen, but you're also dispositioned not to say that out loud, so I got your back, all right? Because I'm one as well. What that means, though, is that we don't live in isolation. You need to make friends before you need them. Because when the valley does come, when the storms do hit, you have your people who are there to care about you and have your back and help you through that season. How many of you, by show of hands, how many of you, you have walked through a valley, you have been in the middle of a storm, and being part of this church community helped you get through those moments? Could you say raise your hand? Okay. If you're here and you're new, you need to know this place wants to do that for you. If you're newer, this place wants to be here for you. If you've been here for a while, you need to make connections because this place wants to be here for you. We need to make friends before we need them. So again, when the events come up and you're going to do something, go and do the thing. Don't just jet out of here right when service is over, but stick around and meet somebody. Try to learn at least one name a week. Get involved. One of the best ways you can get connected with others is to serve alongside others. If you are not connected in this place, after about 3 or 6 months, I'm saying this from a very loving disposition, that might not be this place's fault. You need to go to something. You need to get involved in something. Whatever the challenge is, you need to work through overcoming that. And if you're struggling with that, let Pastor Juan and Rosa know. Let Pastor Roger and his wife know, because they're going to want to help you within that. You are wanted in this place. People are glad that you are here in this place. And people are ready to be there when you need them. You just have to let that happen. We need to make connections with our community. We need to make our friends before we need them. The last thing, we need to leave on mission. We need to leave on mission. Prepare your heart, engage in worship, remain prayerfully engaged, feed on the word, connect with community, and leave on mission. Every Sunday we gather, and then we disperse, and we gather, and we disperse. We gather and we disperse. And that rhythm is always there. We're together for a little over an hour every week, and then you go into school and work and everything in between those things, family time, everything. And what we do in this place prepares us for the rest of that time. We leave with a heart of gratitude for being able to be with the church family and to be able to continue on what God has for us as we go back to what the rest of our weeks entail. But here's the thing. When you leave this place, you are to leave on mission. Listen to what 2 Corinthians says. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, Christ, God, was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Did you hear how many times it was mentioned in there? God has entrusted you and I to be his representatives. God has entrusted you and I to be his ambassadors. God does not need us, but God has chosen to use us. You are wanted by God, and he wants to use you. And so in that, have you ever been to Costco and got samples? Some of you have gone around two or three times. You've gone the route like the laps like me and my daughter have. What is that person doing? Hey, you need to have a little taste of this because there's more where that came from. You need to have a little bit of taste of this because there's more available to you. When you leave this place, you are the walking sample of God. Where people engage you and interact with you and you're like, hey, here's the character of God. Here's the love of God. Here's the care of God. Here's salvation that he provides. And there's more where that came from. And you need to know, God has one plan. It's the church. He has entrusted us the ministry of reconciliation. He has made us his ambassadors. You are God's plan A, and there is no plan B. And so we leave this place going in to shine light in darkness, going in to speak truth within falsehood, going to proclaim his justice where it isn't seen or experienced. And you are part of that. I don't care who you are and what you do or where you're going or what's going to happen. I know this is true about you. You matter. And God's going to use you where he has you. And whatever block that is, or team that is, or family that is, or parent group that is, or class that is, or shift that is, or whatever it is, you matter. And God wants to use you. And so when you leave here, know, leave with that responsibility and empowerment and joy that God has you and God is watching and he is with you. But he wants to use you to let people experience him. And there are too many Christians who are acting stupid on that regard. They are not proclaiming the Lord. They are showing the opposite of what he is like. They are proclaiming other things of this world and not the truth of the kingdom. So we can't speak to the rest of the church, but we can be responsible for who new life is. And so when you leave this place, leave proclaiming him. Leave being a light to his goodness. That the darkness would be overcome and he would be known. Will you stand with me, church? I want to pray for you as a community that this time together would be appreciated more and held on to as sacred because of what God is doing in this place and because what happens here matters. And it's so much more than 1 hour on Sunday, but what happens in this hour helps set you up for that leading missionary to be used by God. And lives are changed, and truth is proclaimed, and healing is found when we gather. And so hold on to this moment as dear to you, and be present, and be active, and be engaged. And just be excited about what God is going to do, not only in your life, but in this place.